My grandfather's 88 years old. Grandma, I believe, is going to be 89 years old. And they live in Florida, the state of Florida, the city of West Palm Beach. And from time to time, I give them a call, see how they're doing. And when I call my grandfather, he usually starts off the conversation by saying these words: "You've forgotten me." I go, "No, Grandpa, that's why I'm calling." "You've forgotten me." Before the days of the cell phone, we would write all these important things: appointments, names of people, telephone numbers, and we would keep it in a special place to be reminded. And I remember my grandfather writing me this letter right after I had finished, graduated from high school. And I was ready to go to school, go to college. And I was going far away across the Atlantic. And I think if there was somebody at home who was nervous about this, that was my grandfather. And he said, "Samuel," and he wrote it in big letters. I think he went to school up to fifth grade elementary school. And he said, "Remember. Remember that you are the son of a king. You're a prince. Behave like one." I still remember those words. Can't remember the rest of the letter. That was something that moved me. Remember. And how often we forget who we are. How often we forget, maybe because of the things that keep us busy, distractions, maybe just life itself happening. And we tend to put aside some of the important things in life. And Pastor Jeff, last week, as he was sharing with us Joshua chapter 3, reminding us of the importance of that chapter for us who are looking forward to seeing Jesus. I was ready to skip over chapters 4 and 5 and go right over to chapter 6 with the fall of Jericho. An exciting, amazing story. But then he quoted this passage: "Study carefully the experiences of Israel in their travels to Canaan. Study the third and fourth chapters of Joshua, recording their preparation for and passage over the Jordan into the promised land." Study carefully chapters 3 and 4. And I was ready to skip right over and go to the fall of Jericho. But in these chapters, brothers and sisters, we find something that is of utmost importance. If we want to get to the promised land, we need to be ready. We need to prepare. And Pastor Jeff shared with us that through sanctification, through faith, through the study of God's word, we are daily preparing ourselves for that great event. God knew that his people were not ready just to go and conquer this big city that had men more powerful, more trained for war than they were. They needed to spend time with him. They needed to know who God was. They needed to trust him. And so God asks Joshua to do something. Something that we would think, why at this very moment? Why when the Jordan River is opened, right? When we're ready to go and attack the city of Jericho, they're not waiting for us. They're not expecting us. And God said, "Wait. Not yet." And if you turn with me to Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake to Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe. God told Joshua, choose 12 men for a special mission. And the mission was, command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. What was the purpose? What was the reason? And we find in this chapter that God always does something for a purpose, for a reason. Verse 6 tells us that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Verse 7, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. God wanted them to remember how he had brought them over Jordan, how he had taken care of them at this very important stage of their life. This quote, the dealings of God with his people should be often repeated. How frequently were the waymarks set up by the Lord in his dealings with ancient Israel, lest they should forget the history of the past. He commanded Moses to frame these events into song, that parents might teach them to their children. They were to gather up memorials and to lay them up in sight. Special pains were taken to preserve them, that when the children should inquire concerning these things, the whole story might be repeated. Thus, the providential dealings and the marked goodness and mercy of God in his care and deliverance of his people were kept in mind. God did not want his children to forget who he was and how he had brought them up to this point. And we find these 12 men, the strong men. And I'm saying strong because you know what happens when you ask a guy to go out and pick something heavy and you ask the others to do the same. What do the other guys do? They pick something heavier, right? And so you had these 12 guys going back into the Jordan in the midst where the ark was standing with its priests, and they were to pick some rocks from the midst of the river, heavy, smooth rocks that were not going to be used for foundation of a house, were not going to be used for foundation of a temple, but were going to be used as a memorial of the great things that God had done for his people. And these men, I can see them carrying these heavy rocks, thinking, wow, what a way to conquer a city. But they did obey. They followed through with the instructions that Joshua was giving them. Why? Why would they do something like that? Because they knew it wasn't Joshua who was saying this, right? It was God who was telling his people to make a memorial for him. We find that memorial stones are used for different things. We have a great wall in D.C., the Vietnam Memorial Wall. We have gravestones that remind us of our loved ones who've passed away. Documents that have also been engraved in stone, like the Ten Commandments. And we have here some pictures of these monuments that remind us of the sacrifice of men and women for their country. And God was asking his people to bring these stones out as a memorial. Something interesting happened as they brought these things, these stones, these 12 stones, to be set in a special place. Verse 14 tells us, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come out of Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. What a miracle! The waters came back, remained again as an overflowing river as the priest walked out of that river. Who were the first to go into the river, the Jordan River? The priests. Who were the last to leave that river? The priests. A reminder, brothers and sisters, that God, he's fighting our fights. Amen? He'll be the first to go in, and he'll be the last to leave that situation. Amen? That's the God we serve. He's not afraid to stand in the midst of turmoil. He's not afraid stand in the midst of tribulation. And verse 20 tells us that those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. The last verse of this chapter, that all the people, not some, but that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Do we have memorials today, brothers and sisters? Memorials that remind us of the great acts of God on our behalf? Today we worship on what day? The Sabbath, a memorial that God is our creator. We celebrate communion, to be reminded of what? Jesus' death and resurrection, how he liberated us from sin. Memorials are important for God's people, to be constantly reminded lest we forget. Lest we forget. And that's when we forget that fear creeps in. It's when we forget that we start depending on our own strength. It's when we forget that life takes a turn for the worse. Joshua chapter 5 tells us what this event meant to the rest of the people who were around Canaan. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanite which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore, no more courage, because of the children of Israel. You see, the nations did not expect Israel to cross over at that time of the year because of the overflooding that was taking place on the Jordan River. They did not have any of their men there in formation waiting for the Israelites to cross over. They were in their cities doing what they do, waiting for the river to go down and then expecting Israel to cross over. But now that they were there in their own territory, they didn't have the courage to go and attack them. They all ran into their cities. They all feared for the worst, not knowing what to do against such a great God. But it's interesting that God didn't tell them, now go and attack. Now go take Jericho. Now that they fear you, bring those walls down. Verse 2 tells us, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua obeyed. He made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. I don't know about you, but the idea of taking men to war, and before they go to war, telling them, you need to go through a procedure. You need to have surgery. Does not sound like a good idea, does it? At least not to 40,000 men. Not before a war against the Canaanites. But praise God that they trusted Joshua, and they trusted whom? They trusted God. You see, God wanted to have men who were committed to him. He had told this to Moses before they even approached the promised land. Deuteronomy 35 and 6, the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise what, brothers and sisters? Your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. What God was telling them was, you need to trust me now more than ever before. If you think that crossing over Jordan was a big deal, wait till you start conquering the land. You're going to need to trust me even more. So put aside the things of Egypt. Put aside the idols that are between us. Put aside whatever is distracting you from remembering who I am. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36, verse 25 through 26, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36, 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. People, before you conquer this land, your heart needs to be conquered. People, before you go and tell others about the great God who delivered you from Egypt, you need to be delivered from your sins. You need to be ready. Chapter 5, verse 8. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were healed. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And on that day, they celebrated Passover, another memorial of how God had delivered them from Egypt. They were reminded that they serve an awesome God, a great God, a powerful God, who can deliver his people from all circumstances. How big is your God, brothers and sisters? How big is your God? Are you willing to trust him with all you have? Are you willing to do what he's calling you to do, even though it doesn't make sense sometimes? How big is your God? There was a child who asked Dad, you know, those hard questions. Dad, how big is God? How big is he? And Dad thought for a moment, looked down at his son, and then looked up, and as he was looking up, he saw a plane flying 30,000 feet in the air. And he told his son, do you see that plane up there? The son looked up and said, yeah, I can see it now. That's how big God is. Son looked down and thought, that's not very big. So Dad said, let's go. We needed to go to the airport. And he took his son to the airport and got him really close to one of those 747s. And the kid looked at the plane and he said, wow, this is big. And the dad looked at his son and said, son, the farther away you are from God, the smaller he will seem to you. But the closer you are to God, the bigger he is. Has God given us evidence of his greatness, brothers and sisters? When you look at this week, have you seen God moving in your life? Have you seen him opening doors and closing other doors? Those are the things that God has done on behalf of each one of his children. And he doesn't want us to forget it. I believe that's why he's given us the Sabbath. I believe that's why we celebrate communion, to be reminded of the great things that God has done on behalf of his people. I want to read one more quote that we find in the Review and Herald, July 19, 1892. Battles are to be fought every day. A great warfare is going on over every soul between the Prince of Darkness and the Prince of Life. There is a great battle to be fought that the inhabitants of the world may be warned of the great day of the Lord, that the strongholds of the enemy may be entered, and that all who love the Lord may be gathered under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. But you're not to do the main fighting here. As God's agents, you are to yield yourselves to him, that he may plan and direct and fight the battle for you with your cooperation. The Prince of Life is at the head of his work. He is to be with you in your daily battle with self, that you may be true to principle. The passion, when warring for the mastery, may be subdued by the grace of Christ, that you come off more than conqueror through him that hath loved us. Jesus has been over the ground. He knows the power of every temptation. He knows just how to meet every emergency and how to guide you through every path of danger. Then, why not trust him? Why not commit the keeping of your soul unto God as unto a faithful creator. Can we trust our God, brothers and sisters? We can trust him. What more evidence do we need of how much he loves us? We are here by his grace, amen? That we can eat, that we can sleep, that we can move around in a car. Again, blessings from God, amen? And we know that ahead of us lay more difficulties, more trials. But God has given us his word to be reminded that he is with us and that he is willing to fight our battles for us. Will we trust him? We need to trust him. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teachings in our past history. Lest we forget. By God's grace, we will not. Amen.